مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته مولانا to you and the listeners of مارك السهابة, The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة. We pray that you and the listeners are all well and in the grace and mercy of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم مولانا, we trust that you are well. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, الحمد لله رب العالمين, جزا الله عنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما وعده, ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. This morning's program, through the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are busy with the later Mughals from the year 1701 to 1806. Now this is the period of the decline of the Mughal empire in India after 300 some odd years, alhamdulillah. But before we go to that, we want to talk about what is happening in Pakistan. There is some very ominous news coming through. Whether there is any truth in it, Allah only knows. Pakistan is in a state of transition. It is unstable. Ominous news is on the horizon. The negotiations with the government and the PTI has collapsed. The demands of the PTI for the Judicial Commission has been rejected, and the government in power has played delaying tactics, trying to create sub-committees and sub-commissions before acceding to the call for the Judicial Commission regarding the May 5th, what they call riots carried out by the PTI and the deposition of Imran Khan. The Adiala jail prisoner since August 2023 seems no closer to attaining justice than the 14-year and 7-year sentences respectively served upon Imran and his wife Bushra Bibi in the trumped-up Abdul Qadir University case. There is unconfirmed reports from the United States of America that plans for the elimination of the PTI chairman and leader seem to be at an advanced stage. PTI representative in the United States of America, Shabash Hill, has intimated that generals in the Pentagon have leaked a plot to kill Imran Khan. The location of Imran Khan to Baluchistan from the Adiala jail in Rawalpindi is being contemplated. His whereabouts in remote Baluchistan will be a secret. He will undergo visits by doctors for a stomach ailment that will be the cause of a benign death. He may be killed in Ramadan to pacify the expected consequence of uprising mitigated by a death in the holy month of Ramadan. There is pressure on General Asif Munir to execute the plan with the help of the ISI, that is the intelligence service, internal intelligence service. His grip on the leadership of the army is tenuous in that he be replaced or detained. If he does not execute the plan, he may have to flee the country and abandon control to the more pliant army chief of staff, with the whole coterie just waiting to carry out the vile deed. So from now till Ramadan, we all must make dua that Allah Ta'ala keep Imran and his family safe, and that these vile puppets of the United States of America do not carry out the evil deed of assassinating Imran Khan and throwing Pakistan into chaos. And they are just waiting for the month of Ramadan when everyone is spiritually inclined and carry out the deed and then say that, look, he passed away in the month of Ramadan. He got such a wonderful death and that, and hiding the assassination attempt that was carried out. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We come now to our program proper, the later Mughals. The death of Aurangzeb in 1707 was followed by a war of succession among his three sons. The three sons were Shah Alam, Azam, and Kam Baksh. On hearing of the news of the death of his father, Shah Alam, who was the governor of Kabul, hurriedly marched from Kabul to Agra. Prince Azam, the second son, who was in the Deccan at the time of the death of his father, marched with his force from the Deccan to Agra. The two forces collided at Jajo. at some distance from Agra. Prince Azam was defeated and killed, and Shah Alam ascended the throne at Agra, assuming the title of Bahadur Shah. Bahadur Shah next sent a force to fight against his third brother, Kambaksh, who was still in the Deccan. In an action near Hyderabad in the Deccan, Kambaksh was defeated and killed. With the elimination of the two brothers, Bahadur Shah had no rival to contest his claim to the throne. Bahadur Shah followed a conciliatory policy towards the Marathas. He released Shahu, the grandson of Shivaji, from captivity and allowed him to proceed to the Deccan, where he followed a friendly policy towards the Mughals. There was a revolt in Rajputana, which was suppressed without difficulty. Thereafter, Bahadur Shah concluded a treaty of peace and friendship with the Rajputs. In 1709, the Sikhs, under the leader of Banda, attacked for the Fauzdar of Sonipat and defeated him. The Sikhs next contest conquered Sadora and Ambala and committed atrocities against the Muslims. In 1710, the Sikhs captured Sirhind and killed the Mughal governor, Wazir Khan. They pillaged the town with ruthless cruelty, defiled the mosque, burned the houses, and slaughtered the Muslims in large numbers. Bahadur Shah marched against the Sikhs in person at the head of the large Mughal force. Banda, the Sikh leader, evacuated Sadora and moved to the strong fort of Logar. In 1711, the Mughals captured the fort of Logar, and Banda, however, managed to escape. He took refuge in the hills. The Sikhs were defeated, but not subdued. Bahadur Shah was a Shia, and he wanted to make Shiism the religion of the state. In view of strong public opposition to the move, he gave up the attempt. He died in 1712 after a short rule of 5 years. He was already old at his death. He was 70 years when he came to the throne. He was very active for his inactivity. He earned the nickname of Shah-e-Khabar, that means the heedless king. He was kind-hearted and possessed a generous and forgiving disposition. He died at Lahore, and immediately on his death, Lahore became the scene of the war of succession among his four sons. And these four sons were Jahandar Shah, Azimush Shah, Rafi'ush Shah, and Jahan Shah. Three princes were killed in the course of the war, and the surviving prince, Jahandar Shah, secured the throne. He owed his success to his general, Zulfikar Khan, who became the chief minister under the new government. Jahandar Shah carried the body of Shah Alam to Delhi for burial. He proved to be good for nothing. He lacked the qualities of a good ruler. Instead of consolidating his position, he gave himself to pleasure and debauchery. He came to be dominated by his mistress, Lal Kunwar, a dancing girl by profession. Shah proved to be his evil genius and lost in her love. Jahandar Shah neglected the affairs of the state. In Bengal, Farrukh Siyar, the son of Azimush Shah, the brother of Jahandar Shah, who had lost his life in the war of succession at Lahore, raised the standard of revolt and vowed to take revenge for the Sayyid brothers of Barwa and marched at the head of a force from Bengal to Agra. There was a confrontation between the two forces in the historic battlefield of Samugarh near Agra in January 1713. Jahandar Shah was defeated and he fled from the battlefield. He was pursued and taken captive. He was lodged in prison where he died and was done to death in 1715. His rule lasted hardly for a year. After the Battle of Samugarh, Farrukh Siyar entered Agra in triumph and ascended the throne. In the new government under Farrukh Siyar, all power came to be concentrated in the hands of the Sayyid brothers, who were mainly responsible for the victory of Farrukh Siyar. The elder Sayyid, Brother Hassan Ali, was made the chief minister as well as the viceroy of the Deccan, and was awarded the title of Qutbul Mulk. The younger brother, Hussein Ali, became the Muil Bakshi and was conferred the title of Amirul Umrah. Farooq Siyar had to undertake campaigns against the Rajputs, the Jats, and the Sikhs. Ajit Singh, the Maharaja of Marwar, who had defied the Mughal authority, was overpowered and subjected to terms. Farooq Siyar married a daughter of Ajit Singh. The Jats created disturbances in various parts of the Doab, the territory between the Jamuna and the Ganges River. By concerted action, Shuraman, the leader of the Jats, was taken captive, and the Jat revolt was suppressed. In the campaigns carried against the Sikhs in the Punjab, the Sikh leader, Banda, who had heretofore eluded the Mughal forces, was after all captured in 1715. He and other Sikhs prisoners were taken to Delhi, where they were executed in 1716. Farooq Siyar was cured of a malignant malady by a British surgeon, Hamilton, and as a reward for his services, Farooq Siyar granted liberal concessions to the British traders. These concessions paved the way to the rise of British to political power. Farooq Siyar felt very sore at the concentration of all powers in the hands of the Sayyid brothers, known to history as the Kingmakers, and his own helplessness. He planned to rid himself of the tutelage of the Sayyid brothers. Before Farooq Siyar could take any action against the Sayyid brothers, the Sayyid struck and deposed Farooq Siyar. He was lodged in prison where he was done to death in April 1719. His rule lasted for some 6 years. Then we come, because of these concessions that was given to the British, we come to the puppet kings that ruled India under the Mughal banner. After the death of Farooq Siyar, there was a state of anarchy. And in the fateful year of 1719, three kings came to the Mughal throne in quick succession. Qutbuddin the Jat, the grandson of Kambaksh, came first as a stopgap arrangement. A month later, the Sayyid brothers installed Rafiuddola, the younger brother of Rafiuddin Darjat, on the throne under the title of Shah Jahan II. The rival section set up Niku Siyar, the grandson of Aurangzeb, a son of Prince Akbar, on the throne at Agra. This section was defeated by the Sayyid brothers, and Niku Siyar was put in prison, where he died. Shah Jahan II, the nominee of the Sayyid brothers, died within a few months. The Sayyid brothers next brought to the throne the Prince Roshan Akhtar, a son of Shah Jahan, the youngest son of Bahadur Shah. So low had the prestige of the Mughal throne fallen by this time, that the mother of Roshan Akhtar begged the Sayyid brothers to spare her son the ordeal of mounting the throne. No throne prince was available, and Roshan Akhtar was persuaded to accept the office. On accession, Roshan Akhtar took over the title of Muhammad Shah. Muhammad Shah soon felt that he was the king in name only, and that all authority was vested in the Sayyid brothers. Muhammad Shah found the yoke of the Sayyid brothers irksome, and he made common cause with the Turanians, the party opposed to the Sayyid brothers. In 1722, one of the Sayyid brothers, Hussein Ali, was assassinated. While Muhammad Shah was away from the capital, the other Sayyid brothers, Hassan Ali, deposed Muhammad Shah and installed a puppet prince, Ibrahim, on the throne. Muhammad Shah gathered support and surprised the conspirators. In the action that followed, both Hassan Ali and Ibrahim were killed. Thereupon, Muhammad Shah had entered the capital in triumph and reoccupied the throne. on the disappearance of the Sayed brothers, Asif Jah and Sadat Khan became the ministers. Asif Jah was in addition made the viceroy of the Deccan, while Sadat Khan was to hold the viceroyalty of Oud. Asif Jah did not find the atmosphere at the court to be congenial, and he withdrew from the court to the Deccan. Taking advantage of the state of anarchy in the affairs of the Mughals, the Marathas overran Malwa, Gujarat, and Bundelkhand. The Mughal government was not in a position to take any punitive action against the Marathas. They therefore found safety in formally permitting the Marathas to levy Chot and Sardeshmukhi in those territories. Emboldened, the Marathas crossed the Jamuna and appeared in the environments of Delhi in 1737. They were driven back by some difficulty. After this menace from the south was averted, a more serious threat came from the north. In 1739, India was invaded by Nadir Shah, the Emperor of Persia. In the Battle of Karnal, the Mughals made a poor show and were defeated. Thereafter, Nadir Shah marched to Delhi as a victor. At Delhi, things still miscarried, which led to the wrath of Nadir Shah. He ordered a general massacre of the people of Delhi. In the terrible sack of Delhi, thousands of people were killed, and property worth crores were plundered. After exacting a heavy tribute equivalent to the revenue of India for 3 years, Nadir Shah withdrew from India. He carried away the peacock throne as well as the most valuable jewels, diamonds, in the possession of the Mughal emperors. Nadir Shah annexed the entire area west of the Indus to the Persian Empire. The invasion of Nadir Shah was a great disaster, which left the country prostrate and bleeding. After this humiliation, very little of vitality was left in Mughal rule. The Mughal Empire consequently fell a victim to distant integration. With the annexation of the area west of the Indus by Persia, the Mughal Empire considerably shrank in area. It also became vulnerable of future attacks from the west. This process of disintegration from without was followed by the process of disintegration from within. The Rohillas declared their independence in Rohilkhand. Oud became independent in North India. Bengal became independent in the east. And the Deccan became independent in the south. The Mughal Empire was thus reduced to the ghost of its former self. Nadir Shah was stabbed to death in 1747. The eastern part of his dominion, comprising what is now Afghanistan and the area west of the Indus in what is now Pakistan, came under the occupation of Ahmad Shah Durrani, the general of Nadir Shah. In order to assert his authority as successor to Nadir Shah, Ahmad Shah Durrani marched to the Punjab and, after occupying Lahore, marched to Delhi. The Afghans and the Mughals clashed in Sirhind in April 1748. In the Battle of Sirhind, the Afghans were defeated and Ahmad Shah Durrani retired to Afghanistan. Muhammad Shah died soon after the Battle of Sirhind in 1748. He enjoyed a long rule of 29 years, but the rule proved to be colorless and disastrous. Muhammad Shah is referred in temporary history as Rangila, that is, he was a king. The implication is that he neglected the administration and gave himself to riotous living. It was during his rule that the Mughal Empire began to totter to a fall. Though the Mughals remained in nominal power for 100 years more, the story of the Mughals during the following century is a tragic story of progressive decline and ultimate fall. Muhammad Shah was succeeded by his son Ahmad Shah. Ahmad Shah, though young and energetic, failed to effect any improvement in the affairs of the government. Things further deteriorated because of the rise of the Marathas, the invasion of Ahmad Shah Durrani and intrigues at the Mughal court. Under Ahmad Shah, the authority vested in the first Sardar Jung on his death in Ghaziuddin. Ghaziuddin proved to be a malignant star in the Indian firmament. In 1751, Ahmad Shah Durrani once again invaded the Punjab and defeated the Lahore ruler Mir Mannu Ghaziuddin, because of his differences with Mir Mannu, did not send any reinforcements to Punjab. Mir Mannu had to depend on his own resources, and such resources were inadequate to meet the challenges of the Afghans. After his victory, Ahmad Shah Durrani demanded the cession of the Punjab and Multan. The Mughal government was too weak to resist, and Punjab was lost to the Mughals. As a result of the invasion of Nadir Shah, they had lost the area west of the Indus. And now, as a result of the invasion of Ahmad Shah, they lost the Punjab and Multan. The Mughals' emperor Ahmad Shah was critical of the conduct of his chief minister, who is led to the loss of Punjab. Fearing lest the emperor might take any action against him, Ghaziuddin struck. Ahmad Shah was deposed and lodged in the prison, where he died in 1754. His rule lasted for 6 years. No dignity was left with the office of the emperor, and an unscrupulous minister would play with impunity with the life of the emperor. Well, now we have come to the end of our program. Inshallah, next week we want to do the few final emperors of the Mughal Empire, and then come to the historic date of 1856-1857, where the British came to rule India. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.